Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The term that I've used is Cole's position.
Kevin Clark is here.
He's just like a well-put-together guy. I mean, he cares about what his hair looks like. He cares about how he's dressed. He's very professional, we'll put it that way. And he was far more likely to show up to work to record an audio podcast with no camera on him, wearing like a suit and tie.
Welcome to Sports News Day with Kevin Clark. I am Kevin Clark. Justin Fields will not be doing the Wednesday dance this season.
I will not be doing the Wednesday
dance.
He
will not be doing it.
Unless I learn it and get really good at it, so we'll see.
It's a long off season, buddy.
It is, that's what I'm saying.
Kevin Clark, last time we spoke, you with The Ringer, now you're at ESPN.
Let's go around the horn! Kevin Clark around the horn.
It's ESPN in Omaha, and Omaha's producing my show, This Is Football.
Omaha!
All right, Eli Manning is here, my new boss. I've worked at Omaha for 4 days. I've not gotten an Omaha quarter zip.
Really? It should be in the mail. I thought that was in the welcome package. I'll talk to Peyton.
Dan Marino, when you watch modern football, would you have liked to have a couple runs against some of these defenses?
Yes, we'd throw for 6,000 yards.
Go Buck. You get to go back in time and redo one call. Where are you going?
The Randy Moss call, for sure, with the that's disgusting.
Peyton Manning.
I'm doing good, Kevin. Thanks for having me. Excited for playoff football.
Always college football. I'm your host, Greg McElroy, alongside Kevin Clark. Caleb Williams, from the time he stepped on campus at Oklahoma to the time he stepped on campus at SC, he has never experienced adversity.
Thrilled to be joined on Pole's Position, which is brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical, there when you need us. You can see that excellent hair and well-dressed man on our Twitch stream and our YouTube page, and he's on our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. He is the host of This Is Football. He is Kevin Clark. What's up, buddy?
What's going on? What a hype video.
If you need it for a resume reel or something like that, our guy Chris Tannehill can send it over. But, what is it? Any memories that it elicited? You've talked to everybody.
Well, the Mark Titus thing is the most important. So Titus was telling the story. I didn't even know he did it. He was telling the story at the time that he walked into The Ringer office, which used to be on a studio lot, and he was wearing a t-shirt and like cut off jean shorts, and I was wearing a full suit, and we were going to do the same job, and so we had to take a photo together. And I walked in and I just said, just imagine what someone looking on the outside would see if they saw us standing together. And he said, it takes all kinds, Kevin Clark. And I always thought about that.
He's
it
right,
takes all kinds.
That's a true radio guy right there. just a man after my own heart. I want to talk football and Bears with you, but big media news. Congrats on the 9-year extension with Omaha Productions and ESPN. Yeah. It's Peyton's company, but they're the...
Peyton's not even involved. It's a personal 9-year extension. All of the money funnels directly into my bank account. So I'm glad you're congratulating me.
Yeah, well, of course. So yes, Peyton Manning has nothing to do with it. It's all the Kevin Clark empire. But what's Peyton Manning like as a boss?
He's great. I mean, like, you see it. It's not like, I think there's a lot of athletes who think they're going to get into media afterwards. I meet a lot of them, and some are as successful as Peyton Manning. Some are the third tight end on a team that never makes the playoffs. And they're saying, well, I'm gonna have a media career after this. And you're going, no, cause you don't know what it takes. And Peyton not only knows what it takes, he goes above and beyond. He understands content. Like, we see it with the documentaries he makes, Quarterback on Netflix, which everybody liked. He's really good. And he came on my pod at the beginning of the playoffs, and we just broke down quarterbacks. And you're not that I had low expectations or anything. I have extremely high expectations, but you're like, oh, wait, this is the smartest quarterback thinker in media. And he can kind of do, I'm not, you know, just doing this and sucking up because he runs Omaha. Like, he literally is like good. He's like the best at like 10 different things. And from my perspective, talking about quarterbacks is the most valuable because I like to have him on once a year just to break those things down.
Yeah. He's incredible. And the Manning cast is great, and the guests that they get, and the fun way that you guys are all blending in commentary in the digital space and football, and you learn something and you laugh. It's a really, really cool venture to be a part of, and you're a perfect fit for it. You made a little news locally with the Greg McElroy comments recently. I saw it had millions and millions of views, so congratulations on the aggregation.
Thank you.
Did you think that Greg McElroy's criticism of Caleb Williams, that he had never experienced adversity, that Caleb himself clapped back at, did you think the criticism was fair when you were hearing it in real time?
I think that I understood where Greg was coming from, which is very similar. And people were like, well, you wouldn't say this about Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence said it about himself. He said he never had a chip on his shoulder because he was a five-star recruit, went from Georgia High School football to Clemson, and didn't have a lot of doubters, and then all of a sudden was first overall pick. He said that before the draft, that basically he's not one of these MJ last dance type of guys. So I understand if you're Greg McElroy, and Greg McElroy's awesome. He's one of my favorite pundits going. That's why we had him, and we did a home and home this week. I understand where he's coming from, where he's saying, okay, this is a guy who was one of the best quarterbacks in the country coming out of high school, was being trained to be a quarterback for a long time, and has not really had the sort of chip that other guys have. I understand where he's coming from, that where there's not a lot of doubters. And listen, my feeling on this is that you can find doubters anywhere. You can just search on Twitter, which it sounds like Caleb is accustomed to, and just say, okay, fine, I found this one guy who says I suck. Great, I can do 10 more reps on that. Everybody gets motivation from different places. But I understand, like, I think there's a lot of things you never see until you get to the NFL level. One of them is you never see an NFL style pass rush. So in my opinion, like, there's barely any such thing as a quarterback prospect until you see that kind of prospect against any type of NFL front seven. Until, I used to say that, you know, a young quarterback didn't become a second year guy until he faced Bill Belichick. There's certain milestones you have to go through. And so I understand what Greg was saying when he's saying that we don't know where Caleb's motivation comes from, but I also don't think that that's a red flag enough to say he's anything other than the first overall pick. By the way, Greg said he was the first overall pick. He said Caleb Williams 1, Jaden Daniels 2, Drake May number 3. But I can see where Greg is coming from, even if I don't necessarily agree.
What do you think of the pairing that is inevitable at this point of Caleb Williams and what Ryan Poles has built here as a nest in Chicago?
Yeah, I feel for Justin Fields for never getting this infrastructure, but right, that's it. Like, geography is destiny in football, and all sorts of quarterbacks have been failed by the system around them, and that's life. Caleb Williams is going to get the deck stacked for him, and that's really valuable and should excite most people in Chicago. This is going to be really good. I understood the idea that you should trade out of the pick and build around Justin, whatever, but there hasn't been a proof of concept that he's a franchise guy. And it was so funny, and I was talking to people after the Super Bowl, and they were saying, the model was always, well, we got to get a Mahomes type. And then literally the model now is, you have to have Mahomes. That's it. Like, there's one guy who can win the Super Bowl now. It's Patrick Mahomes. And so unless you have that level of quarterback, you got to keep trying. And I don't hate the fact that they're doing this quickly and going all in on Caleb Williams and giving him the infrastructure. I think that they'll get to pair him with not only the receivers on the roster who are improved, but then they'll hopefully be able to go out and get another top receiver with one of these picks. More help to keep him upright. This is just, unfortunately, where you come in a build tends to determine your fate as a quarterback. And Caleb Williams is going to get the infrastructure that Justin Fields never had. And I think that's important, but it also shows you that Ryan Poles is building this linearly and structurally sound, and the quarterback's going to come in and he's not going to get failed by the system around him.
So what would you do if you were Ryan Poles at 9? What's your best case scenario?
I don't know if I can say this. Roma Dunze was just on my show, but we're not running until next week. I would do everything I could to get Roma Dunze. Like, I was blown away by how smart and good he was. But that's how you maximize. I've always, for years, I thought skill guys were overrated and quarterbacks made the skill guys. And I completely, with Kansas City, we see that all the time, but they still have Travis Kelce. If I'm Chicago, I would not hesitate to get another skill guy, because you can't separate the success of Joe Burrow from T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, and Tyler Boyd. And I know Tyler Boyd is inexplicably still a free agent. Nobody wants to pay him, but those guys are really good. And I was down in Cincinnati a couple of years ago, and I had an offensive coach basically turn off my tape recorder and say, Joe Burrow is amazing. Joe Burrow is him, but do not divorce Joe Burrow from the guys around him who are making his life so easy. And the chemistry that they have is really something special. And so for me, I would just try to, I mean, they've got the draft capital. I would try to get as many skill guys and offensive guys as possible and go from there and make Caleb Williams' life as easy as possible. I understand that the impulse to get defense and make the team better and all that stuff. I think the scars and the scar tissue that Chicago has from the quarterback position is so deep that I think the most important thing is making him look as good as possible week one. And I've been on shows. I was on Around the Horn a couple weeks ago.
Name dropper.
One of the panelists, no big deal. One of the panelists was like, well, the Bears are going to screw it up. They're going to screw it up. They always screw it up. Well, you know what? That's why you draft Caleb Williams, because he's the guy who's going to change everything. It's not like the Chiefs were sitting there as some model franchise. Yeah, they had Andy Reid. Yeah, they're winning with Alex Smith. You change the franchise with a franchise changing quarterback. That's why they call him that. And we saw with CJ Stroud last year. Actually, franchise changing guys don't sit around and wait. They don't wait and say, oh, by year three, I'm really going to take off. They say, guess what? I'm really good now. We're going to win a playoff game now. Like, the linebackers the Texans had last year were like glorified insurance adjusters. And yet CJ Stroud said, let's do this. Let's win now. I think that's important. And I think I think maximizing Caleb Williams in year one is what they have to do, because there needs to be a proof of concept, or else. And I know no one should ever care about the fan base and that kind of thing, but like, Bears fans are going to roll their eyes and say, here we go again, if Caleb Williams looks bad all September. Or they're going to say, again, I said this on one of the other shows during the Super Bowl, like, no one is over. I love Jordan Love. No one has overrated Jordan Love more than Bears fans who have PTSD over the past 30 years and said, oh my God, another Packers guy. The Bears need a win. Like I don't care about any team more than any other team. I view it all through a journalist lens, but I want the city of Chicago to have a W. And for me, that's a skill guy really early who makes Caleb Williams' life that much easier, and they look awesome in September and in October.
I'm 100% with you. The show is This Is Football. It's Kevin Clark. He's with us on Poles Position, brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical, there when you need us. Yeah, we had Brock Huard on one of these things, and he said that Rome Odunze was his favorite player that had come through the Huskies program in 20 years in terms of the person. So I know you said you didn't want to spoil your own episode, but can you give us something? What little tidbit about it made him so impressive to you?
Yeah. Talking in generalities, it's embargoed, as we call it.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, then I'm not trying to put you in a tough spot.
I can be general. He said this before, that he wants to be wide receiver one, and he doesn't want to. Like, I think there's a lot of guys, and you've probably talked to them, where they're in the draft process and they're one of three or four guys who might go first overall at their position, and they say, wow, just an honor to be nominated. You know, it's, oh man, to be included with those guys. I was watching those guys. Those clips are amazing. You know, I was watching tape of those guys. And he was like, no, I want to be the first overall wide receiver. I want to be wide receiver one, which probably means fourth or fifth or sixth. When you look at the draft board, we'll see what happens with JJ McCarthy. We'll see what happens with the Vikings, all of that stuff. But he's the kind of guy, what the Bears need is a Caleb Williams type, who comes in and says, I don't care. And Justin Fields had a little bit of this, where he was just like, I don't care about what happened the last 30 years of quarterback play here. I'm here to change things. Rome Odunze is that for wide receiver. And that's why he goes, I think he's going to take on whatever task he has, whether that's making a rookie quarterback look better, whether that's going into a situation without a quarterback, whether that's, you know, there's all sorts of situations you can get into. Rome Odunze is going to take that on head on. I think that's the type of mentality you need. And I think the person is as special as the player. I love talking to him.
Awesome. Well, we will be looking forward to checking it out, because he's probably the player that is most mocked to the Bears. I'd say that's the most popular name. So I had gone the other way before I'd seen anything from Jordan Love, except for what he did, you know, in those like three quarters or whatever it was, the Eagles game and the Chiefs game 2 years ago. I came into this past year just being like, Jordan Love sucks. Don't worry about it. He sucks. They're not going to go 3-for-3. It's impossible. It's impossible. And so then I was just getting dunked on and dunked on and dunked on when he was looking good. But I got to admit, the guy was impressive, and he had some like annoying Aaron Rodgers similarities with how he like play action fakes and where he holds the ball down on his hip and the quick release and the youth of their offense and all of it. And then obviously the Lions are incredibly well run and a very good team, and every player that their GM Brad Holmes has ever drafted is still on the roster, which is just such a foreign concept to Bears fans. If this Bears thing actually works and all of a sudden you've got the Packers as healthy and the Lions is healthy and the Bears is healthy, and then we'll see with the Vikings, but they got a great coach and they're going to draft a quarterback. How far away is the NFC North from being the best division in football?
I mean, it's pretty close. I mean, the AFC North is there. It's about quarterbacks. And that's actually why I love this Lions team. I love this Dan Campbell team. And I bought stock in Dan Campbell way before everybody else, way before.
It's like NVIDIA. Congratulations.
But if they're sticking with Jared Goff, and let's say Caleb Williams hits, let's say he's as good as Jordan Love was last year in 2 years, then they're running third. And we'll see what happens with the Vikings, but they're running third. Because the quarterback, as I said earlier, is the shortest way to everything else has to break right if you don't have a quarterback.
Yep.
And I think Jared Goff does a great job, but everything else has to break right. Your defense has to be top five. Your quarterback has to not turn the ball over. You have to have skill guys who can put the team on their back. It's really hard. The quarterback is the deodorant of the franchise. And that I think is really important to note. But the AFC North has the quarterbacks, and the NFC North will have the quarterbacks, I think, in my opinion. With Jordan Love, you mentioned it. I think a lot of that, going back to the geography is destiny thing, I think a lot of that's Matt LaFleur. And I think a lot of guys would be, and I think Jordan Love is a special quarterback, but I think a lot of guys would be significantly better if they sat behind Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers was a sounding board for Jordan Love. I think he's been pretty blunt about that, but both guys have. And Matt LaFleur is really good at coaching offensive football. And Brian Gutekunst is really good at drafting seal guys. And so I think it's also I wouldn't say he's a system quarterback, but there is a nice infrastructure around Jordan Love that helps him quite a bit, that would help a lot of quarterbacks. And so I don't necessarily hate the fact that you state a claim saying he was terrible. I just think he got unlucky because A, the Packers are doing something no team has ever done before, going 3-for-3. And B, you might have underrated Matt LaFleur, who's a really freaking good coach.
I got unlucky in a sports prediction. That's unheard of. it's never happened to me before. All right. I got two more things for you, Kevin Clark. What do you think, other than Caleb Williams is going number one overall to the Bears? And it can be one thing. It could be six things. What do you think you know about what's going to happen at the top of this draft ahead of the Bears' ninth pick?
Well, my one-year-old knows to scream as loud as possible right outside my door in case the viewers of Chicago are listening in wondering what that wailing is. What do I know about – I don't – I mean, like – so first of all –
Four quarterbacks off the board, order of guys, anything.
I'm thinking. Okay, so what I know is that – jeez, this is so hard. I think the Vikings are going to, I guess I can't start with I think because you said I have to know.
Yeah.
I think that the Commanders pick is going to determine the entire draft. And the whole Commanders situation fascinates me because I think they settled on the hire. They want to make Adam Peters sort of strong GM, which I think sometimes can backfire. That's why you don't go out and get a Belichick or whatever. I think it's going to be Jaden Daniels at two. And I think there's going to be chaos beyond that because the Vikings are going to try really hard to get up there. They're already planning something. Here's what I know.
Here we go.
I think that this is a little bit like, and I'm not comparing the quarterbacks, but this is a little bit like the 2016 draft where Wentz and Goff go 2-1. And then the best players are non-quarterbacks. I know Bears fans are going to be upset about this, but the best players drop to 4, 5, 6. We're talking about Jalen Ramsey. We're talking about Bosa because everybody's overdrafting quarterbacks. There is no way that J.J. McCarthy is the fourth best player in this draft. There is no way that Drake May is the third, if you're just doing best player available, third best player in this draft. Jaden Daniels the same. I think there's going to be like legitimate all-pro, write-it-in-pen guys going 8th, going 11th, going 14th. And we've had a couple drafts like that. 2011 was like that, where all of a sudden Jake Locker's going, Blaine Gabbert's going, J.J. Watt is falling. It's going to be that kind of draft because I look at the tackle depth. I look at the skill guy depth. Those guys are going to drop out of the top 10 in a way that people don't expect. The best player in this draft, this is what I know, the best player in this draft from a best player available standpoint, when we're looking back in 25 years, will not go in the top 4.
Wow. Okay. So you think that a guy like Marvin Harrison or whomever will be better than Caleb Williams?
I just, from a career value standpoint,
okay,
that's what I'm guessing, knowing what I know about quarterback prospects, knowing that, and I go back to this all the time, everybody always says Andrew Luck type prospect. Guess who didn't become an Andrew Luck type? Andrew Luck.
Yep.
Because he got derailed by the system around him and got injured and all that stuff, right? And I always think about that. Trevor Lawrence supposed to be an Andrew Luck type. He ain't anything close to what we thought he was when you look at his career value. That's how I view quarterback prospects. I've said this, like, I don't know if quarterback prospect is like the way they used to say about pitching prospects. Do quarterback prospects even exist? Because I keep looking at them and we get them so wrong. The people who are smarter than anybody at evaluating the quarterback position hit 40% of the time, 50% of the time. And so we go into this and we always say, well, there's no generational prospect. There's never, we're wrong about generational prospects constantly. And so I will always take the bet that the non-quarterback will be better than the quarterback in these scenarios.
All right, and I lied. So two quick ones. Who's your dream guest for This Is Football?
Oh boy. Mahomes has never been on the show. We thought we could get him a couple of years ago. I would love that because he's so smart at talking ball. Burrow, Joe Burrow too, just brilliant at talking ball. Now that it's called This Is Football, the scope is smaller. So I can't really have non-sports guests, but if I could, I would love Eddie Vedder. I would love Eddie Vedder to come on and we could talk. I actually went to a show in Newark over a decade ago, and the whole show he wore a Walter Payton like crappy like bicycle throwback jersey. So wow. We could just get him on Talking Bears.
Yeah, I mean, he's a diehard Cubs fan. My co-host is not here today. Matt Spiegel sang with him at the Chris Chelios retirement party,
incredible,
whatever that was, like 6-8 weeks ago. How was your trip to Pinehurst with Mitch Schwartz? And I appreciate you joining us during the Masters as Tiger Woods is on the course.
I think if I can break some news, I think I'm going to go do the official Augusta National Twitter Spaces tonight with Shane Bacon. I believe that's happening. They just texted me about that, which I'm happy to do, and just talk golf for Augusta National. I got a text that said, this is so-and-so from Augusta National. I thought it was a phishing scam. I was like, yeah, okay, pal. It's like,
Is your compensation around?
I have not asked you. I mean, I'm going to drive a hard bargain and ask a minute before we go on. I'm like, hey, I'm not doing this unless.
Yeah.
We'll just say it. We'll see how it goes. It was great. Pinehurst is the most amazing place on earth. I really recommend it. I've not, however, played much Midwest golf. I need to.
Yes, you do. Hey, man, come to Chicago. We'll show you a good time. Do some Midwest golf in the summer. It'd be great.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Kevin, you're awesome at what you do, man. I'm thrilled for your success and your continued rise. And yes, that 9-year extension is all for you, sir. Good job.
Thank God. Thank God. Glad to hear it got finalized.
All right, buddy. That's Kevin Clark. See you, buddy. That's Kevin Clark. This Is Football. He is very, very good at what he does. Works his ass off. Gets great stuff out of his guests at all times. Bryson DeChambeau just carded a 7-under 65, so he is 3 strokes clear of a group that includes Victor Hovland and Danny Willett at 4-under par. Tiger Woods birdied the opening hole first, but then he pulled his drive left into the pine straw, and he was up against a tree in the left rough on 2, and he had to left-handed with the club upside down chip out into the fairway, and he actually was able miraculously to do that. So he's lying 2 short in the fairway on 2 number right now. We will talk to Barry Rosner in 15 minutes, who was at Augusta for the first time and seemed like a little kid on Christmas morning. It's Parkins and Spiegel on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Lockport High School's CM Punk. Most famous Lockport alum? It's probably Punk. I think you got it.
Somebody's reading Wikipedia.
Afternoons on The Score.
Thanks again to Kevin Clark. We will have Barry Rosner in about 10 minutes. Dave Wannstedt at 4 o'clock. It is Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. Join The Score and Budweiser Thursday, May 2nd at Harry Carey's Tavern, Navy Pier, for the 26th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey. Our show will be there broadcasting live from 4 to 7 with actor and comedian Jason Alexander leading the toast at 5:30. Don't miss out on this year's Toast to Harry Carey, Thursday, May 2nd, and Harry Carey's Navy Pier, brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. You guys are prepared for me to be embarrassing during that broadcast? Not like more so than I normally am?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we walk in here every day prepared for that to happen.
I just want you guys to maybe. That is going to be legitimate starstruck me.
Jason Alexander, the architect?
I may have to take a bathroom break and walk on over there just to get a photo, you know?
Dude.
That's big time right there.
Big time. That is one of the all-time. How far would you go on a list of comedic characters on television before you'd get to George Costanza?
I mean, yeah, he's the
hundreds.
It's
not hundreds.
Funniest for me. Character in the history of episodic television.
Right. Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
Who is then? Go ahead.
I would say that Michael Scott is objectively a funnier episodic comedic character than George Costanza.
It's fair. It's a fun debate. He's very good also.
It's a fine argument.
Yeah.
It's a fine argument.
But just
I would even put Ron Swanson up there.
Okay. But so keep this in mind. So George Costanza is Larry David's embodiment. So Larry David, the greatest comedy writer probably ever.
Yep.
He is his avatar on that show. And to me, that's what makes the difference.
Okay.
He's playing Larry David. So there's that level of genius playing another man's real life and still making it translate and making it hilarious.
And
that makes things feel a little bit different.
And in an era of serious constraints from a very conservative like FCC and like network TV constraints, their ability to push the envelope, tens of millions of people watching those episodes. I mean, it was a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah. So if The Office would stop swearing, Shane, you know,
I'm not saying that they swear in The Office. It's not what I'm saying.
No.
But just the moment in time, it'd be the George Costanza walked so Ron Swanson could run, and it was a pioneering television character. Will be legitimately starstruck at Harry Carey's. That is going to be very, very exciting. And by the way, we just did a ton of football talk, draft coverage on The Score presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Can't wait to watch that This Is Football with Rome Odunze. I am with him completely. I do not want the Bears to trade down. I do not want the Bears to go defense with the ninth pick. Take the best offensive player on your board to continue supporting Caleb Williams. How much more does Matt Eberflus need to have a top five defense? He's got second-round picks all over the place. He's got a premium edge rusher, a premium linebacker, a premium corner, young talent.
How many more investments does the guy need? By the way, Jalen Johnson just sharing pictures on Instagram of him in his new number one jersey, going back to his old college number. People are like, oh, it's a tribute to Justin Fields. He's pissed about Justin. No, he wore it in college. You can all relax. Justin Fields left, number one became available, and Jalen Johnson took the number.
This is strange to me. Like, I thought something happened to jersey number one. I thought it went somewhere. Yeah.
I don't remember where it could have
jersey
gone.
Jersey number one is going to the Raptors.
I got
to
say, love Jalen. Don't love it. I think aesthetically, 33 is up there in terms of aesthetically pleasing numbers.
I agree, and I wouldn't want to change numbers without changing teams. Like, if I'm a Bear for 10 years, I want to wear the same number the whole 10 years, even if it wasn't your first choice coming out. But I guess this is what makes us different than being in the NFL. Barry Rosner sometimes can be a bit of a curmudgeon. I'm guessing not about his 72 hours at Augusta. Next on The Score.
Parkins and Spiegel Show Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
I would vote Amaya, but because that's what we're doing, right? We're not doing who's done the most. We're doing who's going to have the best year at the position.
So we have two Amayas and two Gomeses.
All right, yeah. Who do you want me to call? Phone a friend. Who do you want me to call? You guys move on. Okay. I'll find someone to call and we'll have a time. Barry Rosner.
Barry Rosner hasn't watched a baseball game in 3 years.
Which is why we call him.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
He's completely bailed.
We'll get a master's pick from him, too.
Yeah, he'll give you a golf thought. It's 100% correct.
Yeah, I remember this from like 1982.
Yep, absolutely. Originally, we thought of a current baseball reporter, but then we thought it'd be funnier to annoy you. So who should be our Chicago catcher, Yan Gomes or Miguel Amaya?
Well, you're right. You're definitely annoying me. I've never heard of Amaya. Who does he play for?
Barry Rosner.
This time, we are not calling the gem of the human being that is Barry Rosner, and you need to get to our Twitch stream and YouTube stream right now to see a man who is just in his element, in a hoodie that probably hasn't been washed in days, chewing on a cigar, unshaven. I can't imagine how many bets and screens he has going for the Masters right now. He is back from 3 days in Augusta. He is Barry Rosner. Hello, Barry.
Hello, Danny. How are you?
I'm very, very well, sir. I've enjoyed watching you during this 5-minute commercial break, throwing your hands up in the air. Was that a reaction to the Scheffler shot? What was that a reaction to?
Is Scheffler chipping in from behind the pin on 12, which is not an easy shot. Looking back at the water, yeah, brutal, but phenomenal chip. Yes.
Okay, my friend. So you. You seemed like a kid on Christmas morning, and you're known to be a little bit of a curmudgeon. What were the last 3 days for you like at Augusta National?
1,000 times better than I ever imagined it would be. There are things that you'd like to do in your life, things you'd like to see before you die. I've been to the White House 7 times, but the first time I walked through that northeast gate and started walking down that cement blacktop toward the West Wing, you see the Marine Guard, and you can't believe you're there. You just can't believe they let you in, right? And you think of the things, I don't know, I'd like to see the Western Wall in Jerusalem. I'd like to see the Colosseum. Augusta was right at the top of that list with those kinds of things. And I was there a couple of years ago for 10 minutes before they blew the horn. I could never really do it because it was always the first week of the baseball season. So when I was working, there was no way I could ever do it. And I won the lottery for Monday and then, was talking to some friends. I know caddies and players and agents and guys like that. And one of them said, well, you got to stay for Tuesday. So by Sunday night, I had a ticket for Tuesday. And then by Monday night, when I went to the house, a big party at a house, it was great. The guy says, well, I think I got one for you for Wednesday as well. So suddenly it was 3 days and I walked 36 on Monday, 54 on Tuesday and 18 Wednesday morning before I had to take off. And Christmas morning for sure. I mean, It's a magnificent property. It's huge. It's a big ballpark. It is beautiful. It's immaculate. Everyone there is happy. Everyone there is nice to you. All the patrons are happy. Security is great. The concessions people are great. every marshal you talk to, you know, I'm walking down 18. I don't remember which day it was or which time. And I was trying to find the Scheffler bush on 18 left where he sniped it left the year he won.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it. I was 100 yards past it. I couldn't believe it was that far back. Marshall goes, here, let me show you. And he takes me down there and he brings the four caddy, who was the one who had to go into that bush to find the ball and identify it, because it's, there were stickers all over the bush. There's no way Scheffler could go in there. He'd get all torn up. So he shows me exactly where it is. And this happened four or five times. I found Rory's cabin on 10. I found Phil's ridiculous shot on 4 where he ended up taking a triple and it cost him the tournament. Stuff like that. It was just incredible. But the moment, Danny, the moment was the first time walking the back nine. And, you know, you come off a 10 green and 11 tee is 145 yards back. So you got to walk all the way back to your left. You get behind the tee, you look down the chute and you just go, okay, where's my miss? Where's the miss, right? And then, so you're walking down 11 and suddenly you turn the corner and there's 11 green. And just to the right is 12. And you can see the chute for 13. And that's the moment. That's when you go, I cannot believe that I'm here at Amen Corner, seeing this magnificent part of the property that you've waited your whole life just to look at. And you're going to laugh, but you see people just standing and staring. Some are not speaking. Some are mumbling to themselves. You probably will see some tears. I just stood there for probably 15 minutes just looking at it. And it's, you know, if you're a golf dork, it's just one of the greatest feelings you could possibly have. I imagine it's like that for people who go to Wrigley Field for the first time, or I don't know. I can't think of another example off the top of my head in sports, but probably something like that.
No, listen, man. I mean, I've got chills for you. When I saw that picture that you were there, I texted you right away. I was so happy for you. I mean, I love golf. I romanticize golf. I fell in love with golf with Tiger Woods. I've gotten back into it semi-seriously after having gone away from the sport for about 10 years after having a lot of serious back surgery. I will get there somehow one day, I believe. But like But you caddy on the Corn Ferry Tour. Like, you love golf at a level that's even higher than I love it. And so I was so happy for you that you were able to be there. You're rocking the hat. I was wondering, that was going to be the next question, because I saw you brought some freebies back. I assume you bought some stuff. The merchandise tent is ridiculous. How many souvenirs? What did you take from Augusta?
All right, so people told me that I was going to spend $1,000 in the pro shop.
Yep.
And I said, you're out of your mind. I'm going to get a hat and a shirt and a quarter zip and, you know, get some stuff for some friends. I got some stuff for some guys for some auctions, and people wanted various different things. You're a degenerate of the first order. So I think you'll appreciate this. When you're walking through a Vegas casino and you see a hot craps table, you got to stop. Or you see a hot roulette table and you stop. Or you see that slot machine. Well, that looks good. And that one 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 looks good. And you can't walk past one. That's what it's like in the pro shop at Augusta. You just start throwing stuff in your bag. And suddenly you need a second bag. And a third bag. And a fourth bag. I will not tell you how much I spent. Or how many hats I got. Or shirts. Or quarter zips. Or raincoats. Or flags or bag tags or towels or anything else. It's a half hour in there and you're just getting everything you can get. That's quite an experience in and of itself, but the walking of the course is a must if you really love the game. It took me 36 holes to really start to get a feel for it. And so then I went from sort of the romance part of it to the studying it and trying to find where the misses are and, you know, where the real danger is. And what you find out is there's danger on every single shot. I don't think I ever really understood that, because it looked like there was some places where really there were opportunities where you could miss. But if you're out of place off the tee, or if you're out of place off your second, there's triple available on every single hole on the course.
I mean, Tiger today on two, pulling it left into the pine straw and ending up, it's par five. And he, I mean, that was an unbelievable second, but you would think he has a great drive on one, it's a par five on two, and all of a sudden he was in real trouble.
Well, and, you know, he knows where the misses are. So he knows if you're going to be, you know, greenside somewhere, you better be on the right side. There's moguls on every one of these greens that are so severe. And you think you get it when you're watching TV. You do not get it. Every hole is a possible four jack. I mean, even if you're putting for birdie, you can still four putt the hole. That's how ridiculous it is. And the hills, Danny, you know, people talk about, well, TV doesn't do justice. That statement doesn't do justice. They're not hills. They're mountain hiking trails. I don't know if you've ever, you like Arizona, don't you? I know you like Vegas.
Yeah.
If you've ever hiked, you know, mountains, that's what it's like. I mean, the first tee, you can't see it on TV. It's 100 feet straight down off one tee. And then it's 150 feet straight up.
Well, and that's why for Tiger again, right? With the leg and the walking, and if he has to walk it on wet ground, people are worried he's not going to hold up for four rounds.
Well, and I get it. I like to think of myself as being in pretty good shape, and my body is broken right now. I mean, I did a full workout this morning just to try to get the blood pumping again. My entire body is busted. 108 holes. I don't know how he even walks 18. The man's had 22 surgeries, and we don't have to document it all. But given the state of his body right now, I don't know how he does it. There are certain holes where it's a real serious walk. And if you're on that pine straw, by the way, you get great lies on the pine straw.
Yeah.
But it's like ice. You can slip just walking. Just walking on flat ground, you can slip. So how they hit shots off of that, I don't know. I found Bubba's on 10. I found Phil's on 13. I found all the shots. I mean, I just kept walking and looking and discovering and analyzing.
Did you go to the Tiger chip-in?
Of course. Okay. Now, the backside of 16 is a little bit different than when he chipped in.
Oh, right.
Couldn't see it exactly, but I did go to look and see where it was. You can see 16 green, by the way, from about seven different spots up on top. It's just this magnificent property where from four or five different spots, you can see five or six different holes. It's fantastic. The food is cheap. I drank a lot of beer. I brought home a lot of cups.
I was going to say, how many cups? What's the final count?
I brought home 21 cups, which really wasn't that many. I had to mix in some water and some Gatorade because Monday it was really hot. So I had to mix in some other refreshments, but I cannot recommend it highly enough. I never thought I'd get there. I really didn't.
Well, so how many years, if you were always working, how many years have you entered the lottery?
Three.
And you got it on your third?
On wow. My third.
That's
yeah,
amazing.
For Monday, which is the day I really wanted to go. I think it's the best day. Then I was just fortunate to get help with the next 2 days.
You mean because you can see the course and the fewest people are there?
Yeah, I mean, it did get pretty busy later in the day on Monday, but early morning Monday and early morning Tuesday, it was reasonably quiet out there.
Wow. I'm so happy for you, man. That's so
great.
Yeah,
no, it was the trip of a lifetime. You know, when I went to the White House the first time, I thought, well, now I'm satisfied. I never have to go back. And of course, all I wanted to do was go back. And that's how I feel now about Augusta. I need to go back. I don't know when that'll be. It doesn't have to be anytime soon, next year or the year after, but I do want to go back because I got out of the way all the things I really needed to do, which was fully see the course numerous times, get all the merch, see some friends, see some guys I know, some caddies, some players, and some agents. Next time I go back, I think I could probably enjoy it even more.
Well, I'm thrilled for you, man. It's a bucket list thing, and
even if you don't love it, your passion for it is coming through, and those pictures were just incredible. So 21 beer cups and a couple $1,000 worth of merch, but an experience of 3 days at Augusta, priceless. Congrats, Barry. That's really cool, man. Thanks for the time and for sharing.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Danny.
Of course. Enjoy the rest of the tournament, man.
Thanks, you too.
All right. That's Barry Rosner from 3 days at Augusta. He really deserves it. Those pictures.
I love that band. Barry Rosner, the lead for 3 days from Augusta.
3 days at Augusta. They're good. They're really, really good. Dave Wanstead follows that next on The Score.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.